You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks.
The Giants are absolutely done with Daniel. Two words were buyer's remorse.
The Giants are done with him. They may be stuck with him this year, but it's just time to move on. One of the reasons why you want to move on is because you screwed him up. You didn't really help him.
I think he needs a new team. I think he needs a new surrounding. I think he needs a team. And now this leaks that they're done with him. How about if Daniel Jones is done with you? Why is anyone talking about that? The way that the Giants have handled him? If you were Daniel Jones, would you be happy? I wouldn't.
You're listening to Anita Marks.
We do feel that Daniel can play. We've done everything possible to screw this kid up.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, let's bring in Jeff Legwald. Does a phenomenal job covering the Denver Broncos and has for quite a while for ESPN. Jeff, good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Anita?
A lot going on here in New York, that's for sure. Especially around this Giants team. Reports were that Russell Wilson had a pit stop in Newark and met with the Giants. If you can, before we start going down that road of where we think he's going to end up, why don't you explain to our listeners out there, you know, the contract that he agreed to with the Denver Broncos and why they're still on the hook for $39 million this year?
Well, you know, the contract's the reason he's, you know, he's now released or going to be formally released when free agency starts. The $39 million is his guaranteed salary for this year. So whoever signs him can sign him for the minimum, $1 million and change for a veteran of his experience and get a quarterback with that much experience and that bigger resume. So it's a great financial deal for anyone who thinks it's, you know, he's a good fit and can come in. So, you know, it's almost free for whoever does it. So it's his guaranteed salary for the 2024 season. The Broncos get an offset for, you know, wherever he signs and whatever he signs for. But I don't think Russell's going to give the Broncos too much of a break. So I would expect him to, wherever he goes, to agree to a pretty friendly deal to go there.
Yeah, 12 years, veteran minimum, $1.2 million. So
that's what you get him for. Probably get Russell Wilson for $1.2 million, and that's probably the best deal in free agency, at least for the upcoming season.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's pretty insane. So with that being said, what all went wrong there with Russell and Sean Payton? You know, why are the Denver Broncos willing to take this much of a hit, Jeff?
It's a great mystery, Anita. I mean, he's not what he was, and I'm not arguing that, but I would argue when he was benched with two games left in the season, he had 26 touchdown passes, which I think put him at seventh, I think, in the league at that point. So he was being productive. Did it always look pretty? No, but I think Sean Payton wants somebody to play the position, and he wants it to look exactly the way he wants it to look. And with Russell, you know, there are those freelance moments. He's going to change a play at the line of scrimmage that maybe as a coach you didn't expect him to do. You know, the one that's made the rounds is in, you know, a goal line situation in Detroit. And Russell changed the first down play to a fade, and it didn't work. You know, Broncos end up not scoring because they don't challenge two plays that were probably touchdowns anyway. But just stuff like that. I mean, I think Sean Payton has a very specific idea of what he wants it to look like and didn't think Russell Wilson was going to do that enough to keep him. I think ultimately everyone's going to look back and say this was a very emotional decision and that they should have waited one more year to do it.
And when you look and see all that the Denver, so it's not just eating the $39 million this year, Jeff. It's all that the Denver Broncos have gave up to go get him. It's like insult to injury, right?
Yeah, I mean, I said here, they had two paths with this deal. They could do the deal the way they did it and commit to it, commit everything to it for 3, 4, 5 years and see what happens. That was one path. The other path was to not do the deal at all because it was too expensive. And they chose neither. And that's why they're going to be in a very painful position for a couple of years now. I mean, they're taking on a more than twice the record dead money for any single player any single team has ever taken on. They're taking on $85 million of dead money.
Wow.
Against their salary cap. And Anita, you can fix contracts and you can fudge the salary cap and you can squeeze room out, but you can't fix dead money. There's no way to adjust it. There's no way to ease the pain. It just is. And they can take that in two halves, about $50 million in one year and the rest in the next year. There's some indication here that they're going to take the big hit this year because the cap went up with the COVID money was included in the cap increase, and that increase won't be there next year when it goes up.
Wow. It's really wild. So with that being said, again, you covered this team. You were around Russell Wilson. You know, there's some talk and speculation that he just doesn't have the drive anymore. Not the first one in the building, not the last one to leave. You know, obviously his family has expanded with his wife and whatnot. Did you see that? Did you witness that? You know, granted, yeah, $1.2 million, that's a bargain. That's for sure. But, you know, what type of quarterback do you expect a team to get for that?
And yeah, I think a team, first of all, the players contradict any of those leaks or reports that he did not put in the time. He was, the players say he was always the last guy there. And among the players, they say he spent the most time in the building. So I think some of that is coming from the old, we got to make this look better camp. Make this decision look better camp. Cause there was never any indication here. He was shortchanging effort. In fact, even after they embarrassed him and benched him, he still spent extra time with Jarrett Stidham to prepare for the last two games of the season, which his teammates said that said a lot about him. His teammates were mad when he was benched. They thought a remote chance of the playoffs was taken away from them when he was benched. So I think anything post, you know, benching or anything that's said about what happened here, I would not give any credence to this Russell Wilson didn't put in the effort thing. But a team that gets him is going to have to put him in and get him to be a play action quarterback more willing to play in the framework. And I think the right coach could do it because he had moments when he met Sean Payton sort of halfway on the philosophical things and was very productive. He had a 4-game span. They beat Kansas City. They beat Buffalo. They beat Cleveland. They beat Minnesota. Those 4 games to me showed what you could get as a quarterback if you're willing just to put him in an offense that can protect him better and doesn't line up in so many three-wide expanded formation things that put it at risk or put a better line in front of them. But those 4 games were very productive. They beat good teams, and it showed what you could have if you do it the right way with him.
Interesting. Again, Jeff Ledwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, covering the Denver Broncos for ESPN. So what do you anticipate, right? Had a cup of coffee with the Giants at Newark Airport or thereabout. Spent the day yesterday with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Reports are that meeting went really well. Spent a lot of time with Arthur Smith, their new offensive coordinator. There's some talk and speculation that he's going to meet with the Raiders. What's your gut telling you? Where do you think he lands, Jeff?
I thought Anita, I thought Pittsburgh, and I put this in a couple stories over the past few weeks. My indications were that Pittsburgh was sort of the leading candidate because, again, they could put him in the kind of offense where he's going to be the most productive and, frankly, would resemble the offenses he played in Seattle. I think they tried, and he tried it too. I'm not letting Russell off the hook, but he was the victim of one of the worst seasons the team's ever had when Hackett was here, you know, in 2022. So that I'm not sure you can put that season as Russell can't play anymore. I'm not sure anyone could have played quarterback well in what the Broncos did that year. And this past season, he was being productive when he bent. Again, I think he was top eight in touchdown passes. I'm not sure a guy who's ever been top eight in the touchdown passes in a season's ever been benched. I don't have that information in front of me, but I don't think it's happened in my career covering this league. So he's been productive. There is a quarterback in there who can still play in a measured way. And I think it's just a matter of a coaching staff having a good enough relationship with him to make that happen and just accept three times a game he's going to do something that's way off the script, and you just got to talk to him about it and move on.
So you think that he would be a good fit with Arthur Smith?
I think he'd be a good fit, Anita, for anyone who's willing to get him into a play action, more play action based offense, you know, sort of, you know, a Mike Shanahan hybrid offense, you know, with some rollouts, some bootlegs, but with that run game component. So because he can't escape the rush like he used to, and sometimes he acts like he can, and that gets him in trouble. So I think the team that keeps him out of those situations the best will get the best play from him.
News broke today when we jumped on the show. Jerry Jeudy traded to the Cleveland Browns for two draft picks. Your thoughts on that trade?
Fully expected. Cleveland made a run at him. Cleveland was one of the teams that made a run at Jerry Jeudy early in the season last year. They made a run again just before the trade deadline, and the Broncos said no both times. So not shocking to me he went to Cleveland. They've been trying for a little bit. I think they got – Broncos got a fifth and a sixth. I'm not sure which ones yet. Cleveland has two picks in each of those rounds, so I'm not sure which ones the Broncos got yet. But they got a fifth and a sixth. And Sean Payton said at the combine to a bunch of us that it was the coaching staff's fault that Marvin Mims didn't play more last year, and Mims plays Judy's spot in the offense. So they're getting what they can for a player in the last year of his contract and a player that they – we're going to dial back in the offense anyway to play Mims more.
So with that being said, Jeff, before we let you go, you know, what are your expectations for the Denver Broncos this year? And like, you know, obviously Sean Payton has got the keys to the car. Being able to compete in this division, what's the timetable you feel that it'll take for this Denver Broncos team to start competing again?
Well, I mean, this year's going to be tough for them if they get any injuries at all. They won't have much depth. They're going to have a lot of young guys in the lineup. I mean, this Russell decision put them in salary cap prison, you know, whether they like it or not. And their only way to create space is to get rid of guys or adjust contracts and kick the problem down the road even more, which the owner has said he doesn't want to do. So, I mean, I think next year's tough, and their ability to have anybody play quarterback in 2024 better than Russell Wilson did this past year, I think is sketchy at best. And, you know, to get a rookie developmental or a rookie answer, a young quarterback answer out of this draft, the board's going to have to fall a very specific way for them to get the guy they like enough to take. And, you know, you can't rely on that either. So a lot unknown, especially behind center, because they still don't have a long-term solution and much of a path to get a long-term solution. And Mahomes is 28, and as I point out to people here, the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl with 16 of their own draft picks in the starting lineup. So that tells you what they're up against.
Absolutely. Do you think Denver walks away in the first round with a quarterback? And if so, who do you think that is?
Well, at 12, Anita, you're not getting the first tier. So as an organization and a personnel philosophy, you're wasting your time if you take a guy at 12 you don't really believe in. You know, if you're just doing it to take the quarterback no matter what. They've done that here, and it has not worked. Paxton Lynch, they traded back up into the first round. The organization wasn't totally convinced, but they did it anyway, and it ended horribly. And you can't do that at 12, because at 12 you're passing up a potential 10-year starter at another position to take a quarterback you don't ultimately believe in. So the right guy would have to be there, and they don't have the ammunition to trade up. You're talking about a team that's picked in the top 45 of the last four drafts combined three times. To trade away more future number ones and twos to move up for maybe getting their guy just seems like bad strategy to me. So for them to take a quarterback at 12, it would have to fall right, and I think they would need universal support that it is the guy they believe in and they think could develop. You know, I think, you know, of the guys that are maybes there, I mean, Bo Nix fits their offense, but then the question is, you know, do you think that's the value there at 12, and do you think, you know, he's going to develop enough to make that your pick you commit to moving forward?
Wow. Sounds like a complete mess, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Now, you know, again, Anita, I think it would have been far easier if they were just ridden it out with Russell Wilson for one more year. But to me, it's, you know, 10 years from now, I think everyone's going to look back on this decision as a very emotional one, that maybe they should have taken a breath on all sides and gone one more year.
Jeff, always great having you on. Such great insight. Really do appreciate it.
Anytime, Anita. Thank you.
You got it. Jeff Legault joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. It sounds like a lot of these rumors out here in regard to Russell Wilson are not factual. And Jeff Legault, I trust. He's covered this team for quite a while. And so could be a really, really good bargain for, if it is the Pittsburgh Steelers, to get Russell Wilson. That's for sure.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
What is the most attractive thing about Russell Wilson right now? Is it the play or is it the price tag? And if the answer is the price tag, that in itself answers the question. In that, first of all, the Steelers aren't even a legit threat in their own division. Hear me again. In the AFC North, where you have Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, you have the Cleveland Browns with Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco, we'll figure out where he is. And then you've got the Bengals with a healthy Joe Burrow coming back. I'm not disparaging Russell. So when I look at Russell and I think about where he could fit, does he make the Steelers better? Yes. a legit threat in the AFC?
Listen, I've got the Ravens in Cincinnati 1A and 2A. Or is that 1A and 1B, right? I wouldn't be shocked if either of those teams win the AFC North, right? You've got a Cincinnati Bengals team. They've got oodles and noodles of cap space. I want to say like over 50. Hold on. I've got that right here in front of me. So let me look at it. Where is Cincinnati? So Cincinnati, yeah, close to $50 million in cap space. The number one team with the most cap space, the Commanders, $80 million. $80 million. Number two, the Patriots, close to $80 million, just under, $79.8 million. The Tennessee Titans, it's $70 million. The Texans, again, at $66 million, hence why I do believe that they're going to throw some money at Saquon Barkley. And then you've got the Cardinals, the Bears, the Colts, and then the Bengals sitting there at close to $50 million. So out of all the teams in the NFC, in the AFC North, they've got the most cap space. And by a lot, you know, you've got a Steelers and Browns team that are sitting there with just $5 million. So, you know, you got the Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens, I think at 1 and 2. Can Deshaun Watson stay healthy? Really, that's a really big question mark, right? Can he stay on the field? But in Mike Tomlin, I trust. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that AFC North plays out this coming season. And if they have Russell Wilson, I do believe Russell Wilson can do more for them. And we just spoke to Jeff Legwald, as long as Arthur Smith implements an offense that he was able to play in Seattle, a lot of play action, and build an offense around Russell Wilson that best suits him, Pittsburgh Steelers defense is, you know, top five in the NFL each and every year. So I think the AFC North, I think you can argue that the AFC North is probably the most competitive, one of the, if the not most competitive division in the NFL. Let's go to Eitan in Riversdale. Yeah. Eitan, welcome in.
Riverdale. Thank you very much. I had told you that I was excited about the Russell Wilson idea for the Giants a couple weeks ago. You were lukewarm on it. You seem to have ended your ways here a little bit. I am very excited about him because if somehow you can get rid of Daniel Jones and Daniel and Waller retires, because when you're talking about retiring, I think you pretty much are retired already, then the Giants could maybe get like $60 million under the cap if somehow they can trade Daniel Jones and get half the contract. So I wanted to ask you, do you think there's any chance that the Vikings would take Daniel Jones for seventh rounder? I mean, if I was the Giants, I'd take him for a bag of chips, but if you were the Vikings, could you possibly, because you're not going to get Kirk Cousins, he's going to go to Atlanta probably, would you get Daniel Jones?
Yeah, listen, like I said, in Daniel Jones, I like Daniel Jones. Eitan, thanks for the phone call. I think he's just been dealt a really bad hand here for quite a while. You know, he's one of those quarterbacks, and like many quarterbacks, right? Like you need the right pieces around you. You know, some you know, majority of quarterbacks do better when they're playing behind a really good offensive line. You know, you do have more other quarterbacks that, you know, are more athletic and not, hey, listen, Daniel Jones is uber athletic. You know, obviously he can run. And we saw that not this past year, but the year before, and scramble and create for themselves, you know, but also putting him in an offense that, you know, he has legit weapons to work with. You know, I was expecting big things from Darren Waller this past year. You know, it's sad. If I truly believe if you had Daniel Jones behind a top 15 offensive line, let's just go middle of the pack. Let's just go top 15 offensive line in the NFL, a healthy Saquon Barkley, a healthy Darren Waller. You know, I think this team could have won at least four or five more games. But of course, that wasn't the case. And here we are. So, as Cynthia Freeland said, this coming week is going to be really fun to see where everybody goes. There's the haves and the have-nots in regard to salary cap space, especially with the addition of the $30 million. Hey, before we take a break, let's go to Tony in Delaware. I want to get him before we move on from our Giants talk. So, Tony, welcome in.
Yeah, thanks, Anita. So Daniel Jones was drafted way before he should have. I mean, it was a bad quarterback draft anyway. I mean, you had, the Commanders taking, the guy who unfortunately died, a few picks.
Dwayne Haskins.
So, I mean, he's a backup type talent that for some reason, we needed a quarterback and we
see. I disagree with you. I don't think Daniel Jones is a backup. I think Daniel Jones is a starter. I think the Giants really screwed this young man up.
Well, he can't. I mean, if you actually watch his tape, he can't even read defenses pre-snap. I mean, you see a guy wide open pre-snap with no safety over the top, single coverage, and he doesn't even look at the guy. Watch his tape, and you will see this guy is awful pre and post snap reads. And I think that's telling. Maybe the Giants finally, really discovered that. But the guy, unfortunately, he's just maybe it was the line. Maybe it was the line that messed his head up. But he can't read a defense, and that means you're not good in the NFL.
Yeah, but Tony, and again, listen, I know I sound like a Daniel Jones apologist, and don't hang up. It's hard to read a defense when you have less than 2 seconds to get rid of the ball.
That's all you get. You gotta change it up.
And it's hard to read, and it's hard to read a defense when you don't have a rushing attack. I mean, this team takes a huge dip when Saquon Barkley's not back there. In the majority of the games that Daniel Jones did play in last year, he did not have Saquon Barkley.
I don't think we did too well when Saquon was there either. So I mean, Saquon can't even pick up blitzes. So I'm not too mad to see him go if he goes. I mean, we got no blitz protection when he's back there. So, yeah, I mean, it's just all hype. We're too much of a show pony, fan base here with the Giants because, we got these names. Barkley, yeah, big deal. What's he doing? Daniel Jones, what the heck? He threw 15 touchdown passes in his best year when we went to the playoffs 2 years ago. 15 touchdown passes in a pass-happy NFL. That's disgusting.
And Tony, who were his weapons?
Who was he throwing to?
He had the wide receiving core was a bunch of twos and threes.
Okay.
And I think I'm being quite nice saying twos.
Two of our receivers went to the Chiefs and they called passes. So
You can't compare the Chiefs and that offense, Tony.
What are you talking about? James went there and Kadarius Toney went there.
And Kadarius Toney is a bust. Kadarius Toney is a complete bust.
Not the year they won the Super Bowl, or 2 years ago when he was actually playing.
He's a complete bust, Tony. He wasn't even active for the Super Bowl this year, Tony. He was inactive. The Chiefs decided to make him inactive for the Super Bowl. And not because he was injured. So there's that. And when Kadarius Toney was here, he couldn't even stay on the field. What was that report like? His cleats didn't fit? What, he had the wrong size cleats?
Something you remember like that? There was something like that. But to the caller's point, he did catch the game-winning touchdown against the Eagles 2 Super Bowls ago. So he's got that on his resume.
But give me some consistency. And his time here in New York was not good.
No, but
they couldn't wait to get him out of the building. That's not Daniel's fault.
No, but a lot of Giant fans will also point to that Cowboy game where he went absolutely nuts a couple of years ago with the Giants.
Okay, but we're talking about one game.
Yeah, but look at how many one game guys get an entire career's worth of money off of just one game. If you play really well and show that you have talent, why do you think the Chiefs went out and got him? He's still on their roster, too. So they see something in him.
But they had him inactive for the Super Bowl. And not because of injury.
I'm not saying he's not a head case, but he's talented.
Okay. At the end of the day, here's the thing. I think it's going to be a complete poop show if Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback. After every, agree or disagree, that after everything that has transpired with news leaking out of the Giants facility that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are done with Daniel Jones, them meeting with Russell Wilson at the Newark airport, God willing, if they, you know, go out and they draft a quarterback in the first round. Just, I mean, we're only human. You know, like mentally, how's Daniel Jones going to come in and perform well here? After all that.
I don't know.
Right?
The last time his back
and you know
was
he's
the
you
wall.
Know he's going to get booed. You know he's going to get like uber booed at MetLife Stadium. One incomplete pass. Boo! Get him out of here. He's a loser. It's a disaster. The whole thing, right? You agree with me, right? The whole thing is a disaster.
Last time that Daniel Jones' back was against the wall, what'd he do? He went out, had the best year of his career, and won a playoff game. So I wouldn't bet against Daniel Jones having a pretty good year this year. With the Giants being done with him, maybe he's playing for his next contract. And again, what happened 2 years ago when that was the case?
I hope so, because he's a really nice young man who's been sold a bag of lemons here. Seriously.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, want to remind you, join the Michael Kay Show for a live Big East broadcast on Friday, March 15th, starting at 3 o'clock at the Rutherford, a rooftop restaurant on 33rd Street across from the Madison Square Garden. There'll be plenty of ESPN swag, giveaway, a chance to score Big East tournament tickets. See the Kay Show live with a special Big East guest at Rutherford on 33rd Street this Friday, starting at 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sam Adams, Truly Hard Seltzer, Schweppes, and Nissan. March Madness right around the corner. Can't wait. 800-919-3776. Let's get to some calls before we do click or don't click and find out what's trending in our wide, wide world of sport. Let's go to Mel in New Jersey. Mel, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, good afternoon. I'd like to say I agree with you with, you know, the team not being the best around Daniel Jones, so we really can't see him optimize, you know, the way that we want him to see. I think he's great on his feet. I think he's got a great short pass. I would love to see the deep ball more accurate, but, you know, that go with the line, that go with the wide receivers around him. But with that being said, you know, he got one more year left on his contract. I wouldn't mind if the Giants take a quarterback with this high sixth pick, you know, and then let him sit for a year. And because I feel like every quarterback, you know, you got a better chance after you get to sit and have a couple weeks on the bench. You get more relaxed. You know, it's like we all get better with driving the longer that we drive, you know. So that's all I really got to say, Anita.
Yeah, Mel, thanks for the phone call. You know, I've been saying it. I'm hoping that nobody is as high on Drake May as I am, and he falls to 3, and then maybe the Giants pounce and trade up with the Patriots and go get Drake May at 3. Let me tell you something. Draft night, I'll be on cloud 9 if that happens. I would love Drake May here in New York City playing for the Giants. Boy, would I love that. Let's go to Bobby. Bobby, welcome in.
Yeah, how you doing, Anita?
I'm great, thank you.
I agree with Mel. I think that would have probably been the best scenario for the Giants. I don't understand this whole Rich Eisen thing coming out. And, I mean, that just puts the Giants in a super stupid position. I think, you know, what he explained, you know, have a draft pick and have Daniel Jones, you know, go out there and play for you. I watched Daniel Jones play his heart out for the Giants. I mean, you know, the kid ran all over the place. You know, he had better instincts than Zach Wilson with his run game. But he didn't have the weapons, didn't have the offensive line. Even Eli Manning didn't have an offensive line, and you know, with the Giants. So, I mean, I would love to see Daniel Jones. If he was with the Jets, they'd have been in the playoffs every year.
Bobby, listen, you're preaching to the choir. I hear you. Thanks for the phone call. I think sometimes, like, you know, when you... And I'm going to use Lamar Jackson as an example. And I had this conversation with somebody yesterday up in Bristol. I was up there in studio for ESPN Bet on Thursday and Friday. I don't think Lamar Jackson would have won MVPs in the NFL if he wasn't drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. And what do I mean by that? The Baltimore Ravens traded back into the bottom of the first round to draft Lamar Jackson. They had Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback. And the minute they did that, they immediately invested in changing the offense to suit what they knew Lamar Jackson was bringing to the table. Hiring a different offensive coordinator and then drafting talent and bringing in free agents to best accentuate what Lamar Jackson brings to the program. And so they created and built an offense around what he does well. If another team would have taken Lamar Jackson, I don't know if a ownership group, a head coach, an offensive coordinator, a quarterback coach, a scouting department, I don't know if they would have had the wherewithal. I don't know if they would have been that committed to do all those things. So Lamar Jackson's success is intertwined with what the Baltimore Ravens organization did in doing it right. But that doesn't happen often in the NFL, as much as it should, to be quite honest. That's why we just had Jeff Legwald in, and he said, you know, when I asked him, well, you know, what went wrong? And he's like, that's the $1 million question. Russell Wilson doesn't fit Sean Payton's game plan. So it was a recipe for disaster. So here's, you know, and not to spend this much time talking about Russell Wilson, although, of course, he did have a cup of coffee with the Giants the other day. But my point being, after the Denver Broncos gave up so much to trade for Russell Wilson, therefore financially committed to him, right? And their future. To make him work, to make that relationship work. Why bring in Sean Payton? And I'm a huge Sean Payton fan. But why not bring in a coach that you know is going to work with Russell Wilson well? Right? So now you bring in Sean Payton, oil and water. It doesn't work. And then now Russ is gone. But Jeff said, boy, you put him on a team for $1.2 million with a head coach and an offensive coordinator who's going to build a system around him like he had in Seattle when we saw him have success. That's a bargain. I know it sounds very simple, but it's kind of insane how teams operate in the NFL, isn't it? I think it is. Let's go to Jerome in East Orange. Jerome, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing? Look, I'm a Jets fan, and occasionally, you know, I the Giants pick up some players that I kind of like, you know, on a personal level, you know, but the sense of entitlement and, you know, the gall of these Giants fans to get upset about about Saquon Barkley, you know, potentially signing with Philadelphia or Dallas just raises my blood pressure to a level that is just unbelievable. Like, you don't want the guy. You know, he's been a perfect citizen since he's been with you guys, the face of the franchise. great all-around guy, says the right things, plays as hard as he can. You don't want him. Now you're saying, oh, if he signs with Dallas or if he signs with Philadelphia, he's going to – I hope he goes to one of those teams, and I hope he wins the Super Bowl, and I hope he just has as much success as, you know, he could. I'm like I said, I'm a Jets fan, but I wanted to see him do well this season so that he could get his money. I was rooting for the Giants to win, and I was rooting for him to do well. You know, but these guys drive me nuts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Time for Click or Don't Click. A fun way we take our tour around the wide, wide world of sport. We find out what is trending based on the headlines. And if the headlines grab us, then we click and we find out what the heck are they talking about. Our producers always lead the way. Harvey and Joe, take it over, boys.
All right, so first one. Some Chiefs fans needed some amputations after their playoff game against the Dolphins. Click it on.
Okay, well, the amputation caught me, so yes, I am clicking that.
Some people who attended the near-record cold game in Kansas City in January had to undergo amputations after suffering frostbite.
Stop.
The Research Medical Center didn't provide any names, but said treated dozens of people who experienced frostbite during the 11-day cold snap in January. 12 of those people attended the January 13th game against the Dolphins.
Oh, my gosh. And they had to get, did they say, fingers, toes?
Fingers and toes for the amputations.
If you look at the TMZ article, the images are disgusting.
Oh, really?
Blood red fingers, discoloration.
Oh, that's insane, right?
So maybe they should have canceled that game. Just throwing that out there. They canceled the Buffalo-Pittsburgh game, which was played the same day. So maybe playing in negative 13-degree weather is not the smartest idea for the people in attendance?
If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, do you give those people lifetime
tickets? Oh, you have to, right? Either that or...
What do you do for those fans that now have,
pay for the surgeries, at least. Who's okay. Responsible for that, the league or the Chiefs?
Well, I would hope that they have insurance.
Right, but you're walking into I guess you know what you're getting yourself into when you go to a game like that, but
yeah, I would
someone
never...
has to be held responsible. Maybe it's the people themselves. Maybe the lesson here is don't go to a playoff game in negative 13-degree weather.
Yeah, really? What were they thinking?
It says that fans were allowed to bring heated blankets and small pieces of cardboard to put their feet under. Now, let me ask you a funny question here, Anita. Since you're playing DNR in this pickleball tournament, if I tell you that you're going to win this game, but you're going to have to amputate a finger, would you do it?
What?
Yeah. I give you the choice right now. You're guaranteed to beat DNR.
Well, we are gonna beat them. That's a guarantee.
But I'm telling you, if you do it and you just whatever, middle finger, boom, gone.
No, I'm not gonna. No.
Pinky.
No.
What are you gonna do with a pinky? You don't have to do it with a pinky.
No, I'm not going to amputate a finger to guarantee a win and a victory for our Cinco de Mayo match against Rick DiPietro and Dave Rothenberg. Which, by the way, you know, I know you guys produce other shows. What's the scuttlebutt? Like, what's being said about that right now?
I'm guessing Dave's been training a bit. They might play again a few more times before the actual match.
So, oh, have they played?
I'm guessing so. I think they're trying to ramp up the training for this game.
That's surprising because they live like in polar opposites area of the world.
You think they're taking this seriously or no?
I don't know. I mean, here's another thing. You know, they both have families and they live. Here's where Amani and I do have an advantage. Rick is really invested into his family.
Sure.
Like, to the point where like he coaches his son's games, right? And he's stuck out there on Long Island pretty much all the time. And then Dave's sons are older, but I don't know, is Dave getting in the car and driving all the way to Long Island to play and practice pickleball with Rick? And if he is, how many times a week is he doing that? Meanwhile, I don't own kids. I own dogs. So
I don't know if owning kids is the way to say it.
Well, whatever. So I can come and go as I please. And I can meet Amani anywhere. And Amani's kids are older. And Amani and I live like a stone's throw from one another. He's my neighbor. So, you know, that's where Amani and I have an advantage. I think Amani and I are going to practice more together than I would imagine Dave and Rick will. So there's that.
Do you think they use that as an excuse? Or I couldn't practice as much because of my families?
I don't think it's an excuse. I think it's a reality for them. And I respect that. I mean, they both seem to be really, really good fathers. So I respect that. I'm not looking at it as an excuse for them. I'm just looking at it more as an advantage for Amani and I.
Your mother.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, what else is trending at 1:57 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon?
All right, headline here. There was talk about another team in the NFL. The Eagles are taking trade calls on Josh Sweat and Hassan Reddick. Click or Ooh. Don't click?
Yeah, I'm clicking that. I'm curious. Obviously, the Giants play in the same division as the Eagles. Howie always seems to end up on top after free agency and the draft. So yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious what's going on there.
Now, Josh Sweat and Hassan, they have so many pass rushers in that Eagles team. And Diana Rossini put out a tweet earlier that the Eagles have been shopping Sweat and Hassan Reddick. And that the Eagles are going to try to aggressively pursue Bryce Huff from the Jets in free agency.
Oh, yeah. I like Huff.
Giants are in on that too, I hope.
I heard the Giants are in on Hunter from Minnesota. Daniel Hunter from Minnesota.
Daniel Hunter. I heard that too. And I heard Jordan Ronan on his Breaking Big Blue podcast say that. And Daniel Hunter is going to want to get paid. So I don't know if the Giants are going to put up that much money for a pass rusher. They might just want to spend, I guess, lesser for a pass rusher and probably draft one as well to get someone on the opposite side of Thibodeau. So I don't know if they're going to go that high up. But if they can get him, I'd love him because he can get you a double-digit sacks in his sleep.
How about one more? Give us one more topic that's trending before we take a break.
The college football playoff is reconsidering auto buys for the 14-team playoff. Click or don't click.
Yeah, I'm clicking that. Explain that. I'm curious.
So, and remind you, we haven't even gotten to the 12-team playoff yet. But under this 14-team playoff that would be...
Who's proposing this, by the way?
The College Football Committee. So this would be in 2026, we would have a 14-team playoff, but they are reconsidering auto buys for the SEC and the Big Ten after some backlash from conference commissioners and the public. Why do we need 14 teams? Why?
Here's the thing. No matter how many teams get in, there's always going to be teams that are going to be left out. And there's always going to be that, there's always going to be that narrative. Oh, these teams got slighted. It doesn't matter. It could be 12, it could be 14, it could be 16. At the end of the day, all that we're going to talk about is the 17 to 20 that got slighted that should have gotten in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, maybe, okay, team 5 in a 4-team playoff, but not team 15 or even team 13 for that matter. Go scratch, play better, win more games, schedule better. We don't need 14.
I hear you. When we get back, Joe is going to join us. We've got a really exciting, we're talking about college sports, college basketball, March Madness right around the corner. It's my second favorite time of the year, of course, outside of football season. And I just love it. And it's going to be here before we know it. Over under how many pools I'm in, guys?
12.
Over.
20.
They're about.
That's insane.
Each and every year, it comes down to be like, I'm in about 20 pools for sure.
There's got to be something else that's like a better hobby, no? This is worrisome.
During March Madness?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like I said, it's my second favorite time of the year.